This new startup company, Eterni.me, are planning on giving everyone an everlasting life. So, actually, let's just talk to the man who knows about it. John Riley from The Effect Net. Good morning. The Effect.net, even.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, man. How are you?
I'm very, very well. So, first of all, how do you pronounce the name of this company?
It's kind of like a play on Eternity, so it's Eterni.me. So Eternity.
Yeah, that was our first mistake. It's too clever for
its
own good.
Yes, I know the name doesn't roll off the tongue. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What is it?
it's an American startup company, kind of aiming quite controversially or quite eyebrow raisingly aim to recreate you as a virtual avatar once you've passed away or shuffled off this mortal coil, as they say. So you give them personal access to your Gmails, to your emails, to your Facebooks, Twitters, everything you've put online, you give them access to. And then you, throughout the time they have access, you're able to curate it as well and kind of help develop this character. And then they will be able to create this database and then the kind of defining thing, create this virtual avatar that would look like you and sound like you and that'll be able to speak back to loved ones after you've passed away.
Okay, so let's take me as an example. I die in a week's time, sadly, or happily, depending on who you are. And between all that, you have all my information. Imagine I was on Twitter or I was on Facebook, or imagine I had all that.
Yeah.
And I say to you, John, let's say you're in charge of this on my account. John, that's everything I have to give you there. So when I die, you can have all that information and that, so that my mother / sister can, tweet me or text me or email me? Or
speak to you like a Skype call. That's where you could actually be on screen in a 3D animation, yeah, and especially more so for someone like yourself and people that are, the voices have been recorded thousands, hundreds, millions of times, they'll be able to create an extremely powerful kind of voice algorithm with all your kind of nuances to be able to, and the computational power will be there in the future, that you'd be able to speak back to loved ones as if you were sitting right there still.
And would they use a kind of a special affected picture of me from a previous photograph?
Yeah, they'd grab videos, they'd grab photos, they'd create a 3D model of your face, apply it to this avatar, and you'd be speaking back in lifelike 3D graphics.
So
remember, we spoke about Talking Angela the last time we were on, so it'd be a Talking Ryan app. So God forbid, if you did pass away, people could download an app of you, and you could still keep yapping away.
that is a horrific thought. It's let's face it, it's slightly macabre and it's a bit creepy.
It's the way it's going, though, Ryan. There's no avoiding it, I guess. I think the only thing that could slip it up is in terms of people's versions of themselves online. So everyone's, you know, people have an idealized version, and it's kind of more of a public persona than a private persona. So when you start giving it access to everything you put online, be it public and private, that's when they can maybe hopefully start to create a true you rather than how you put yourself across as your brand new job and your brand new car and your nice new holiday.
In other words, fake book.
Your fake book, yes, exactly. So it's still early days yet.
So it's a robot version of the dead coming back to live in a virtual world to keep the families happy in moments of sadness.
Well, again, it covers so many, it crosses so many ethical, religious, moral, political even kind of grounds that I'm coming from the technology side of things, but there's psychologists that are looking into this. The company themselves are hiring many different psychologists to help with the understandings of how to deal with this sort of thing. You know, people are raising many of eyebrow, and he's the founder, Marius, I'm just can't think of the surname off the top of my head, but he's getting quite a few explicit mails from people telling him what he's trying to do is completely and immorally wrong, and he goes, look, if you're not doing something right, if people aren't getting agitated. So it's interesting.
There was a Charlie Brooks Black Mirror episode called Be Right Back.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's very, yes. I watched it when it was on last year.
Yeah.
Yes, with Donald Gleeson, one of ours, exactly.
That's
and
great.
I watched it again there the last couple of days. And it's very eerie because the show, it's real life recreating fiction, because in the show on Channel 4 last February, it was a husband and wife, and unfortunately the wife lost her husband. It's set in a near enough future where the technology has been carried away by Moore's Law. Everything's got faster and smaller and better. So this Moore's Law has made the ability of you doing what this company is aiming to do. In the show, the wife uploads all her late husband's private emails, everything she has, even videos where they scan his face and scan his voice, like I was saying about you. And they're able to firstly create kind of a text bot or a chat bot of him, and then he's able to call her on her phone and speak to her. And then in the show, then kind of this is where the leap is kind of gets very science fiction, but only for now, I guess, that she's able to get a kind of an avatar body delivered to the house. She pops it in the bath. It's downloading all his information over the Wi-Fi, and his face is kind of molded to his video face, and then he gets out of the bath, and she falls somewhat back in love with him. But by the end of the show, we realise it just isn't the real thing. And I guess that's the issue a lot of people will be kind of worried about and concerned with, that it's never, we know for a fact that it's never going to be the same person that's sitting on the other end of maybe that camera lens for the Skype call or whatever this company aims to visualise.
It sounds, I haven't seen the film because I couldn't bear it, but yeah, the film Her, wherein he falls in love.
Oh yeah, I watched it.
I hear it's good.
It's a slow burner, I guess. It's Spike Jones' take on a kind of a love story with a computer system. Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with
Scarlett Johansson's voice, which we all have done at some stage in our lives.
Exactly, I think we're all culprits of that. But it's his play again. Everyone seems to be. It's been around for years, I guess. It's like The Lawnmower Man is like an early rendition of this whole uploading yourself online, and then Tron. Again, but more, as I said, like Her, and the new Johnny Depp film, Transcendence, it's the same kind of premise where he's uploaded to this wider kind of AI network, and it kind of, you can even see Terminator coming in.
The film, Steven Spielberg, and then you go back to Pinocchio.
It's been in the human psyche for almost 100 years. So it's this idea of everlasting life, our legacy that we leave behind us, and can this digital format give more meaning to our lives rather than the company is kind of pitching it as you become a virtual librarian of your facts. So people can pop on and go to me if I passed away and go, what was that movie that you really liked talking about, or what was that recipe for that dessert you used to make that was really delicious?
And you come on and say, It's a Wonderful Life. I love Mad Men. I love West Wing. I am a monster.
Yeah. Good night, just shut down. Please reboot the Wi-Fi.
Control-Alt-Delete Ryan Doherty.
we kind of have to understand that the stage is kind of, it's philosophical what the company is trying to pitch. There's no real concept. The software isn't there. We've got the likes of Google Now. We've got Siri on the iPhone, and even Microsoft Cortana kind of just starting to take the early baby steps into this area of kind of human speech. The big companies really aren't ignoring this. There's the new company called Vicarious in the States, and these guys are trying to get computers to read images, to read stuff online like humans do. So it's nothing to be ignored. It's raised $60 million in its second round of funding. So this is where it's going. And Google's after buying another AI company. It's all about the artificial intelligence right now. So it's getting very, very important. And again, with this, these guys, the Turnamy, have passed what they've called. Have you ever heard of the Turing test? Turing test?
No, I have not.
It's a test that computers are given to see if they can actually come across as human beings in a conversation. So it's an old scientist that has come up with the test. So you maybe say you're put in one room and a computer is put in the other room, and you start typing to this computer. So if the computer can trick you into believing that you're not talking to a computer, they've passed the test. And that's the biggest, that's the holy grail, I guess, at this stage for these supercomputers. It's very interesting.
It is interesting. I still want to find the time machine that can bring me back to about 1920, where I can be born, and then forget that all of this modern stuff exists because it's just out of control. The world has now gone completely crazy, says the text. Anyone who would do this is just self-centred, attention-seeking asses. Ruth in Galway says, awful, just awful. Social media from the afterlife, that'll help people deal with their grief. Creepy and wrong on so many levels. That's just a couple of texts. But I'm sure lots of people are very excited about the possibility of living on and sharing their own lives, even in the afterlife. God help us, just when we thought they were gone once and for all.
The biggest downfall, I guess, is that they've pitched this too early without any real solid kind of concrete stuff. But I'll be honest in saying that it's going to be, in well, maybe decades from now, impossible to ignore this kind of concept of you're uploading yourself to the cloud after your life.
I believe everything. I believe everything. I have a very good friend of mine who's all over this, and I laughed at him because he reminds me of Cassandra, you know, the ancient figure who would tell you what was going to happen. No one believes him or her, and then it all happens. And he's no longer Cassandra now to me, because actually everything he said to me in a pub about 3 years ago, not only has it happened, but it's moved on again twice as fast. And I just never thought it could happen, or at least in my lifetime. And it's actually not only is it happening, but it's advancing even further.
Again, as I say, it's the Moore's Law. It's that famous law of everything getting twice as fast and twice as small and twice as cheap. It's just the technology is getting
twice
away with
annoying.
Itself. And twice as annoying, exactly. It comes into the ethics and the morals and what's
just
right,
too
what's
much,
wrong.
It's just too much of everything, too much communication,
it's
too
going,
much
maybe,
sharing.
Maybe it's going too fast for itself, and people, it's different people's versions of it, but I guess...
But I think I'm in the minority, John. I mean, I think that people are really excited about this, and they're saying, come on, this is great, it's the future, it's technology, and we're no longer do we need to talk to each other, shake hands, eyeball each other. No, that's all bullshit now, because actually we can do everything by remote. You don't have to see your granny. You don't have to look at anyone. You can email. You can tweet. You can text. You can Skype. You can WhatsApp. You can this app, that app. How's your app? Shove it up your app. Doesn't matter what you're doing with your app, because to be honest with you, people have stopped talking, stopped eyeballing, stopped being nice to each other. It's getting out of control, and I'm really not liking it.
I guess we're on the opposite side of the fence, I guess. Right?
I know, but I like you, John.
That's good. Okay, I like you too, though.
No, I do. I like you, and I like talking to you on the telephone. I prefer if we were meeting sometimes, but at least it's a simple telephone conversation, not 15,000 messages.
It wouldn't work as a radio show, I guess.
Wouldn't it? No, but that's probably next. A virtual radio show done by Moses.
Yeah, you won't die, so, as said, you'll be kept alive, so Ryan W will be on air for the next 140 years.
They put half a vocal cord in a box somewhere with a jar bubbling in the cellar. Joseph Fritz will feeding it every 10 minutes. Here's a text, 51552. I bet you can divide the population based on what came into their heads when you said AI. Urbanites say artificial intelligence. Farmers and country folks say...
Artificial
insemination, of course.
Yeah.
Ryan, this would be great for those who are not dead. I'd love an AI to manage my Skype, Facebook, Twitter and email so I could just go and read a book. Yay! That's covering all your bases.
We're going to have some debate, yes. I knew this kind of would happen, but it's becoming reality, I guess, that this company pitching this idea. As I said, it's early days, but a lot more people are getting on board, and I'd be surprised if they're not snatched up by the bigger boys like Google with this kind of thing. With other things like this now, I've just pushed a post live on theeffect.net for people. They can click on, have a look at that Donald Gleeson clip from last year, how eerie it's recreating actual real life now. And then there's other clips from trailers, from the Her trailer, people can have a look at, and just my kind of own personal thoughts on the whole thing as a whole. It's all on theeffect.net.
I'm thinking of starting the Real People movement. It's it came into my head now, the RPM.
Oh, here we go.
And the Real People movement, John, is where human beings talk to each other. And spend time in each other's company. Actually, they even watch television together on the couch.
That's a radical concept.
I know. Listen to this. They may even have dinner together at the table with no phones on.
Oh, no, you're pushing it now.
No, I know, John. You're going into convulsions. The Real People movement is steady now. The Real People movement involves watching a film without checking the IMDb throughout.
I'm not part of it.
You're not part of that, and it involves not having to Google everything every time, and maybe even looking up something in an encyclopedia, and just enjoying life at a different pace.
Well, good luck with that movement, Ryan.
I think it may be a very small movement, John.
I'll be the counter movement, to be honest.
you're part of the
real. Fighting a losing battle, I guess.
No, I am. But it's a nice battle to fight, because actually it's enjoyable
it's
being real.
Fight, exactly. I understand I agree with you. I make it a personal decision. For any kind of public, anything, I'm out and in public. I was like, no, the phone will be away. I was with friends on a trip in London recently, and we were out on the nightclub.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, my friend's apartment didn't have Wi-Fi. But when I was in the nightclub, for some reason, the nightclub had Wi-Fi. Yeah. And foolishly, I told the guys this. And for the rest of the night, I didn't see their faces. Gone. And I literally was like, you guys are great fun. Come out of your phones. You're on holidays. It was unbelievable. So I purposely make it my mission not to get caught up in it when I can.
You could be my first technological convert to the Real People movement. I can sense a movement in the force.
No.
Okay. John Riley from theeffect.net. Always good to talk to you, John.
You too, Ryan.
Have a great old day.
You too. Bye-bye.